Christmas was when you were singing this?
You can hear immediately when someone sings with focus. That's right, yeah.
Hare Hare. Again, I affectionately welcome all of you to this second part of the Bhagavatam workshop. Now, I would like to put this again into context. When Srila Prabhupada introduced his Bhagavatam, his translation of the Bhagavatam, close. Thank you so much. He said that reading the Bhagavatam is meant to give us Shraddha, to give us faith. When our faith is strong, our inner strength is there. This is said from Shraddha comes Viryak, the strength to perform different activities. We say in German language, Glauben versetzt Berge, meaning that Shraddha can be so strong that mountains can be moved. You just look outside. It seems a little, you know, if Lord Chandas comes with strong faith and moves that mountain, it looks a little doubtful if he will be successful because he's small size. If Advaita Singha comes, it also looks a little bit doubtful. What is meant in Krishna consciousness with the statement that Shraddha brings Virya? The Padma Purana says that between us and the Lord there's a mountain of false ego. This mountain of false ego can only be crossed by Sharanagati, by surrender to Krishna. And this Sharanagati, or the ability to surrender, is very much dependent on Shraddha. Jiva Goswami says that, in fact, the terms Shraddha and Sharanagati, or faith and surrender, are synonymous. They are expressing the same thing. So developing faith due to the reading of the Bhagavatam, your strengths can grow so that you are ultimately so strong to cross the barrier, the mountain of false ego, which is between you and Krishna. And you must see in your life that your faith gets increased, especially when you turn older in Krishna consciousness. If your faith becomes decreased, something went awfully wrong on the way to heaven. The faith must be increased. Now there is nothing which can decrease the faith so much as quarrels amongst devotees. And there's nothing which can increase the faith so much as reading in the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees and discussing the subjects together with devotees. You must know that if you want to enter the culture of Bhagavatam, not the literature of Bhagavatam, but the culture of Bhagavatam, something very important is required. What do I mean with the culture of Bhagavatam? It's the life of the Bhagavatam. It's living the Bhagavatam. It is bringing the Bhagavatam to life in your own existence. That's the culture of Bhagavatam. So to do that, something very important is necessary. What is it?
To be eager?
What?
To be eager?
Eager, that's an always good answer, but maybe we want to fine-tune this a little. Adi Purusha. You must have not just the book Bhagavatam, but the person Bhagavatam. So Sadhu Sangha is important. See, the scriptures teach you passively, but the devotee teaches you actively. Very soon we will have an amazing journey with the members of the Pandava Sena from UK. We will go to America, and the devotees have requested me to speak about living the Bhagavatam. And when I was preparing this, Gokrishna helped me this morning by giving me a summary. Gokrishna, I'm speaking to you. Bring me your little devil's machine, that mobile telephone, machine of the devil, and what he showed me. There, on his machine, there is a good news that the different processes of devotional service are each exemplified by one devotee. For instance, Shravana means hearing the subject matter, is exemplified by Parikshit Maharaj. And now, if you want to understand more about applying your own hearing, you should go into the life of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj half was cursed to die within 7 days. No battery. Yes, but what is the use of all this?
which one?
It's
Samsung.
Samsung.
Do you have that glass? We have something else here. Another devil's machine.
This is this?
Yeah.
Du musst das ein bisschen aktiv.
To breathe life into it, or what? The hearing is exemplified by Maharaj Parikshit. In the last 7 days of his life, he constantly heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Prabhupada says, we don't know if we have 7 more days to live, therefore, better start to hear. So, Parikshit is teaching us. He put everything down. He just sat and listened. And if we follow in his footsteps, we will be taught actively, not passively, how you can make good of this instruction of the Bhagavatam to do Shravana. Chanting, Kirtana, there's the example of Shukadev Goswami, who spoke the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. We find Shukadev Goswami, he sits there. Parikshit Maharaj asked him a technical question on Krishna's pastime, and Shukadev Goswami prepares for an answer. Now, while he prepares for an answer, he starts to meditate about the inconceivable mercy of Lord Krishna, who expands in a form in which he has association with each single of his, a single one of his devotee. And while he's not yet speaking, Shukadev Goswami, he's just thinking, this is what I'm going to answer. You know, it's just like when you get a question and it's a little tricky. You say 8 minutes, 1 minute, and then you think, and in your mind you prepare the answer. Normally, sometimes in classes we see the speaker is just is asked something and then he says something in answer and he has not even thought about the answer. And his answer passes right by the question. It doesn't touch the question. That's not good. First, better to hear, to think, and then answer. Good. So Shukadev Goswami sits there and thinks about how to answer. As he thinks about the mercy of Krishna, he faints. Now, this is not good. Parikshit Maharaj has no time, you know, seven. It's on the fourth day of his listening to the Bhagavatam, and his time is passing very quickly. And if Shukadev stops, there is no, the Bhagavatam cannot be finished. It's almost, you know, it's nice if a devotee feels transcendental ecstasy, but if he is giving a lecture, then he should finish the lecture. So Shukadev faints, and at this moment Narada Muni comes. He takes vompas. Vyasadev comes and he takes a conch shell and they blow a big sound into Shukadev's ears, and they chant the holy names of Krishna so that he actually comes out of his fainted state and can continue. So we hear all this. We hear how eager Parikshit Maharaj was to listen to the Bhagavatam. We hear how Shukadev Goswami... Yes, sorry. What to do? Not so good in this. How he was chanting and what transpired. And in this way, all of a sudden, the words of the Bhagavatam that we should hear and chant as our prime activity come to life. The sadhus, that the scripture teach us passively, the sadhus teach us actively. And in this way, there are 9 processes of devotional service, and each single one of them is there is a devotee, like remembering Krishna. The devotee who exemplifies this is Prahlad Maharaj, who never forgot Krishna despite the constant tortures from his father Hiranyakashipu. And so when we are in our life, you know, and we go through our scenarios, our ups and downs, so to say, and we forget Krishna, then we can remember Prahlad Maharaj, who was confronted by Hiranyakashipu, his father. He said, Prahlad, from where do you get the strength by which you can defy my order? Prahlad just smiled sweetly and says, Father, from the same source as you get your strength. Hiranyakashipu flares up and says, there is no God. This moment Prahlad looks around and his eyes rest on the pillar which is standing in the palace, and he sees the beautiful face of the Lord smiling at him. Where is your Lord? Says Hiranyakashipu, enraged even more. Is he in that pillar? And Prahlad says, yes, certainly he is. So we hear this, you know, and we become involved in the life of Prahlad. And Hiranyakashipu says, then let him save you now. And he takes his sword out and approaches Prahlad with an angry leap in order to cut his head off his shoulders. As we hear this, we think, my God, this is a real conflict here. What will Prahlad do? Prahlad Prahlad smiles at his father and thinks, he must be joking. After all, he's my father. He doesn't mean any harm. He's so much absorbed in Krishna consciousness and in the goodness of Krishna consciousness that he is totally immune from fear and all the results which come when you are attacked. And then Lord Nrisimhadev breaks out of that pillar in order to kill Hiranyakashipu. So we hear all this, my dear devotees. We hear the role models which we can follow. Krishna, I'm sorry. Why don't they make it simple? There's just space there. But see, they just want to engage innocent monks and entangle them. In this way, there are so many role models. So that the Bhagavatam is not teaching you just theoretically, but it gives you real life stories and also examples which you can follow. Therefore, in the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, it is said that you can't read the Bhagavatam alone. You must also serve the devotees of the Lord. There is this verse, I think some of you can chant with me. One moment.
Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Namashwagare Bhakti Bhavati Naishike.
Now when you regularly hear the Bhagavat, the Purana, and then serve the pure devotee, all that which is troublesome for the heart, all your problems, modern problems, old problems, internet problems, and other problems, everything is almost reduced to nil. It's no longer there. So you must know that the Bhagavatam is not just a book, but the Bhagavatam will reveal itself only if you enter the Bhagavat culture. I thank you very much. This has done an excellent seva, but I will not even design my dreams to have a mobile telephone. So, my dear devotees, please take note of this one point. If you want to enter the Bhagavat, you have to enter the Bhagavatam culture. This is a constant point in many of the older devotees' life. We are getting our prasadam in order to, because the assumption is there that we can elevate the younger devotees and inspire them in Krishna consciousness. And many of us feel that we must remember Prabhupada's words, that we must introduce the culture of Krishna consciousness so that the practices which we do and which we teach can be successful. I've given you an example of what the Bhagavatam culture means. There is also a Kirtan culture which must be developed. Kirtan it's not a matter of just singing down, sitting down and singing. My dear devotees, when you sit down, your whole life sits down with you. You can't cut that and ignore that. You have to live a life which is giving a good nourishment for your practice of the kirtan. For instance, you must be humble and not quarrel with devotees. You must live a pure life if you want to do successful japa and kirtan. The seed, in other words, of the devotional service must fall into fertile ground. If you don't, in German we say Bodenkultur, the the culture of the earth must be there, so that the seed of bhakti can grow. So you must have a kirtan culture, you must have a bhagavatam culture, so that the processes really work. And you must be interested to learn what that is. Once you have the proper culture, that is relishing the Bhagavatam in association with devotees and serving the devotees, as the text says, then the Bhagavatam can manifest bhakti and devotional knowledge and devotional detachment from this world. This was a big sentence, I know, and a big subject, I know, and very difficult to understand, I know, therefore I will tell you a story. So it makes it easy. It's a story which is told in the Padma Purana. It's very enlivening and very motivating, and I want to tell you this story so that you have more faith that by reading the Bhagavatam with the proper culture of serving the pure devotees, at that time bhakti and knowledge and vairagya can develop. So listen very carefully. This is called in academic language therapeutic hearing. It might change something in you. Narada Muni is called the Bhakti Bhakta Avatar. He represents bhakti and he incorporates bhakti. But at the beginning of Kali Yuga, Narada Muni was desperate. He thought the people are not able to develop bhakti. And in Kali Yuga, the people will not develop devotional knowledge and they will not be able to be detached from material life. The reason why Narada Muni was overwhelmed with these types of anxieties was an experience he had just made. He had actually seen at the beginning of Kali Yuga that Bhakti and her sons, Jnana and Vairagya, or devotional knowledge and detachment, were in a desperate and critical condition. He went all over the world to all the sadhus and saints with a heavy heart and asked them, how can we drive Kali Yuga away and how can we bring bhakti and jnana and vairagya to their original positions? See, for your spiritual journey in Krishna consciousness, you need to have devotion in your heart. You need to have some knowledge, sambandha, jnana, who you are and who is Krishna. And you need to also detach yourself from these things, drugs, illicit sex, meat eating, and so on. Some strength is absolutely required. So finally, after interviewing so many saints and asking them what is to be done, he arrived in Bhadarikashrama and there met the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras told him, Narada Muni, you used to look so effulgent and brilliant, but now you look unusually anxious. What is it that has taken all your enthusiasm out of you? Narada Muni said, I saw the state of Bhakti in Kali Yuga. I saw the state of Jnana and Vairagya in Kali Yuga. And now I don't know if we can do anything to liberate the conditioned souls from the pangs of material existence and make them Krishna conscious. What did you say? Said the four Kumaras. Narada Muni answered, listen very carefully. I saw a beautiful young woman at the banks of the Yamuna in Vrindavan. There were two old men lying next to her in a critical condition between life and death. This beautiful lady was surrounded by 100 other ladies who looked like goddesses. Then I asked the lady to give her identification. She said, I am Bhakti. And these are my two sons, Jnana and Vairagya. They have grown very old. And I was also old, but when I came to Vrindavan and touched this earth, I became invigorated. But here in Vrindavan, no one cares for Jnana and Vairagya, and therefore they are not neglected. And who are these beautiful goddesses around you? Asked Narada Muni. Well, they are the holy rivers. Narada Muni said, I am Narada Muni, I have something to do with you. I am called the Bhakti Avatar, but tell me something about your history. How could this scene happen that you are desperate and your sons have aged beyond what is natural? And Bhakti Devi gave a short history of the Bhakti movements in the age of Kali. She said, in this cryptic language, I will translate it for you. I was born in South India. I grew up in Karnataka and grew further in Maharashtra. From there I went to Gujarat, and there I grew old, really old. Luckily, when I came to Vrindavan, I became young again. Nobody in Vrindavan cared for my sons who had become emaciated. Can you understand what Bhakti Devi said? No, I also couldn't understand. See, there were many great Vaishnavas who appeared in the land of South India. Do you know their names? The Alvas, yes. Then? Ramanujacharya, yes. And they organized and propagated Vaishnavism under the banner of the Sri Sampradaya. So Bhakti Devi therefore says, I was born in South India. Then, afterwards, she traveled to Karnataka. That's the place where Madhvacharya appeared and preached very vigorously, nurturing the Bhakti. Then he said, from Karnataka, I went to Maharashtra, where I grew further. Maharashtra, what are the Bhakti, is the main Bhakti saint of Maharashtra? Someone said, Tukaram, or at least it was in the atmosphere, who propagated Bhakti. Now, then Bhakti Devi went to Gujarat, and there the trouble appeared. I know I have a few Gujaratis listening to this very intently. You are exempt from the rule, but in Gujarat, people are interested in sweets and very much in accumulating wealth. And the Patels are very rich. And therefore Bhakti became neglected and didn't get any strength. Now when Bhakti is weak, when your devotion is weak, you know this from your own life, what happens? Your knowledge is weak and your detachment is weak. When Bhakti is strong, You know everything without even reading much, and you are detached from the illusions of material life. So, but Bhakti is now very weak, and therefore she thought, I must get my strength back. It's almost when you, I don't know how it's with you, but sometimes we are weak physically and mentally, and then we know, oh, I can't go on like this. Stop, busy life, we try to find the stopping point, boop, and we want to get physically and emotionally strong again. So Bhakti Devi thought, no better place to do this than Vrindavan. Yes, many of us believe that going to Vrindavan will restore our spiritual strength. Others like to go to Mayapur because Lord Chaitanya appeared there. He's after all the Kali Yuga avatar who is to be worshipped in this age. But we all know the tremendous potency which we get and the strength which we get when we go on sacred pilgrimage. It is really something happens to us. I remember I was going with one very nice devotee from here through the land of Vrindavan, and we both of us looked at each other and said, now there are no more problems, and we felt we can die like this. It's so blissful. This is our best state of Krishna consciousness. We had been singing and dancing the whole day in Vrindavan, and we were really in our best consciousness. So everyone knows that Vrindavan helps. Then Bhakti Devi said to me, says Narada Muni, Narada Muni, you are a kind Vaishnava. I am dying. How is it when a mother sees that her sons get old and die before her? She gets desperate. I'm so absolutely desperate. You are kind. Help my sons. Please help my sons. Narada Muni said, when I heard Bhakti Devi's plea, I went to these two old men and said, I put my cloth there to see. Yes, they were still breathing. I could see by the cloth moving, and I thought, how can I bring them back to life? Maybe I should chant some mantras. So I chanted some mantras. Om Trayambakam Vidyamahe. No reaction. Then I thought, let me recite the Vedanta Sutras. Atato Brahma Jigyasa Anuvriti Shaptat Anuvriti Shaptat. No reaction. They remained like a doll on the ground. Then I recited the Bhagavad Gita. Again, no reaction. At that time, when I tried to bring them back to life and failed, I heard an Akash Vani, a voice from the sky. Satkama! 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 Satkama means eternal activities you must do. And now I'm wondering, what is that eternal activity which will bring back the life to Bhakti and her two sons? Can you tell me? So Narada Muni had asked, whom is he speaking with? For Kumaras, yes. Can you tell me what is Satkama? My dear devotees, can you tell me what is the best of all eternal activities? Narada Muni said, I went to all the sadhus of India and asked them, what is Satkama, which will bring Bhakti and Jnana and Vairagya back to life? And they didn't know. When the four Kumaras heard this question, they laughed very loud and very long. This is an amazing pastime. We are very surprised that you forgot what is Satkama. Didn't you tell your disciple Vyasadeva after he had compiled the Vedic scriptures, that it was all useless without glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Lord. You told him that when he composes and writes and recites the Bhagavatam, Jnana and Vairagya would come to him. There is a verse like this by Bhakti, by this, the causeless knowledge and detachment comes by this Bhagavad culture. Have you forgotten your own words? Tell the Bhagavatam to this old man. And then Bhakti Devi and her, this old man, will become very vibrant. And Narada Muni said, I said it earlier to Vyasadeva, but now I have a doubt. What makes the Bhagavatam so special that it can, it's the most sacred scripture, even more holy than the Bhagavad Gita? What is it exactly? And immediately the four Kumaras answered, see, the Vedas are like a tree, but the Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree. When you have a tree and you want to nourish yourself, then you eat at the wood. I think if you are a beaver, you would do that. I'm a beaver. But the dry wood is dry, my dear devotees. You will go to the fruit, and from all the fruits, you will choose the ripened fruit. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, the Bhagavatam is that ripened fruit, and you should drink that ripened fruit until you are intoxicated and faint, and then you wake up, continue to drink some more. Hare Krishna. I think here the Sufis would jump up and down. The Bhagavatam is our work, they say. They would say, because they always have this example, drinking the nectar until you faint. In the same way, as you go to the fruit, leaving aside the wood of the tree, you go to the Bhagavatam, leaving aside all the other Vedic scriptures, and focus on that. There is no need for any other scripture. Go on and recite the Bhagavatam. So Narada Muni said, I said all this theoretically to Vyasadeva, but I feel it's better that you recite the Bhagavatam. I'm not in my best moment. I'm still shocked after seeing Bhakti and Vairagya at the onset of Kali Yuga. So the four Kumaras became the speakers of the Bhagavatam. And as they were ending with the 12th canto, where it is said in the last verse that Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name, is the essence, there was an unusual scene. Out of the atmosphere, you know, Bhakti Devi is immaterial, came Bhakti Devi dancing, and just next to her were Jnana and Vairagya, the two previously old and crippled personalities. They were now dancing and were very happy, and they chanted one kirtan, which I would like to sing with you. Krishna Govinda. They were singing. A little higher, please. Krishna Govinda Hare Murare He Nata Narayana Vasudeva. Shri Krishna, Govinda, Hari and Murari, names of Krishna, He Nata Narayana, Vasudeva. Just try to sing the words that come to you.
Krishna, Govinda, Hari and Murari, He Nata Narayana, Vasudeva. Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Hare Krishna 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 Govinda Hare Murari Hare Krishna 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 Hare Krishna Govinda Hare Murari Hare Krishna 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 Govinda Hare Murari Hare Krishna 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 Govinda Hare Murari Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
Bhakti Devi is manifesting from Srimati Radharani, Krishna's most confidential devotee. Bhakti Devi is, when she is strong and healthy, always accompanied with these two sons. And the Bhakti Devi comes into the heart of the devotee who regularly reads the Bhagavatam. When the saints and sadhus saw Bhakti Devi coming in, dancing, and I don't think she jumped up and down like an ISKCON Mataji, but really alive, you know, very elegantly and everything. Also, our Mataji stands very elegantly. I don't want to pass see this at the comment. I just want to see. Must be extremely elegant and gracious. I think we can see that. And then all the saints saw her and felt her influence, and then saw the two sons. They were really, really, how do you say, moved. The Kumaras, after the kirtan was ended, they listened. That the saints were discussing, it was taking place in Anandavan in Haridwar. From where did she all of a sudden come and look at her brilliance sounds, it's so attractive. The Kumaras answered, Bhakti has now appeared from the topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti Devi and her two sons humbly submitted. They said, great saints and sadhus, we thank you that you have revived us. But this could happen again and again in Kali Yuga, that we lose all our strengths and our potency. Please tell us a place where we can live, where we can reside, where we can stay. And the Kumaras then said, oh, Bhakti Devi, you give the Supreme Lord to the devotees, and jnana and vairagya, you cut the bondage to this material world. It's very important for the world that you are there and don't leave. The world without bhakti, a world without jnana, sambandha jnana, and a healthy devotional detachment is a dead world. We need you. Please, you stay always in the heart of your devotees who read the Bhagavatam. The defects of Kali Yuga will really get everyone. Even members of the Hare Krishna movement are not safe. They didn't tell this. When someone reads the Bhagavatam, you and your two sons will be in his heart, and Kali Yuga will not be able to touch such a devotee. He will not even be able to glance at him. When Bhakti Devi heard the words of the Kumaras, she folded her hands and together with her two sons entered the hearts of the devotees who relish the Bhagavatam. That's where she stays. That's where she always is. We invite you in a from tomorrow onwards, or tomorrow is what is Tuesday, I will talk about the Bhagavatam. I will tell one amazing historical event from the Bhagavatam, and I think we will hopefully, I mean, if I don't ruin everything, feel how bhakti and jnana and vairagya enter our hearts. But for now, I want to just conclude this by giving you a practical way how you can read the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. I really request Gaur Krishna, who is an excellent handwriting, to make notes as I speak, because I will ask you to hear the Bhagavatam. I will read the Bhagavatam for you according to this method. I will tell you when to start. My dear devotees, all of us have heard the Bhagavatam. All of us have fallen asleep while hearing the Bhagavatam. All of us have good stories and success stories of reading the Bhagavatam to share, and also defeat stories. There is a method whereby which you can relish the subjects of the Bhagavatam. It is an old method. It is first mentioned in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It starts with, please write this down, Shravanam. That is where you just read the text. Before I start, I should say that what I will tell you now, I have found in many traditions, including the Christian tradition, where they have a method called Divino Lectio, that is divine reading. It's different from just reading a text. This method helps you to get the juice out of the text. Remember our example with the sugar cane. The sugar cane candy, the sugar cane must be pressed so that the juice comes out. So this method I found even in that tradition, and I was envious. Oh, the Christians have something which we don't have. This is not fair. But then I found it in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad in a more detailed way, in a more scientific way. So it starts by just hearing or reading a text, shravana. You can write hearing or reading. After you have done this, by the way, this will help you also to give an interesting Bhagavatam class if you can use this method. You must do a neat Adipurusha here. The process is called mananam, or what was it? Mananam. Mananam. You must reflect. You can say reflection. How you do this is you read on and on until something strikes your attention. Wow, this is a point. This speaks to me. And then don't continue to read. Stop. And do some reflection. See, if you don't do this, then it's like in one ear and out another. But the moment you reflect about it, you engage with the subject matter, somehow the subject goes like this, in one ear and down to the center of reflection, the chitta, the heart space. Very important. In our movement, we can do this. Let's go to a Bhagavatam class and just hear. After we get up and we have the first good item of prasadam in our mouth, we have most probably forgotten. I always make this test. I said to the boy, what was it about the Bhagavatam class? Oh. I guess Krishna consciousness. Yes, specifically. There are millions of subjects in Krishna consciousness. But because there is no reflection, it goes down. Therefore, the question answer session in the Bhagavatam is good, because the subjects which are discussed in the lecture are reflected. Some of Vodra, Maharaj, I couldn't understand this. Oh, Maharaj, I want to challenge you. This was very wrong what you say. What can you say to my objection? And okay, then Maharaj says this. And some reflection happens. No, then you remember this. And so on. Then the next is Nididhyasana. Nididhyasanam, actually. Nididhyasanam. That means deep contemplation. And thinking also, how can I apply this in my life? How can I make use of this in my life? You follow? I want to give you an example from breakfast. Or let us go to lunch. Or should we go evening perception? Lunch. Let's stay with lunch. Pizza. There is pizza. There are three items when you do pizza. When you engage with the pizza. First, you bring it to the mouth. And even this. Sharira Vijaja, your mouth is already watering. Just do it fast. You bring it to the mouth. Then the next point, you chew on it. Then the next point is you swallow it. So this is what happens in this process. You shravanam is you bring it to your attention. You bring it to your mouth. If you have another color, you can use it. Bring it to you. You can write. You can hear a new subject. You bring it to you. Then, but that's not enough. You know, pizza just before the mouth is it doesn't serve you very well. You must then, when you hear the subject matter, do the same thing you do with your pizza. You reflect on it. That means you chew it. Chewing. Or you can say engaging with the subject. Engaging with the subject. It's like chewing. And then, nididasan. You know, if you chew something, but afterwards you spit it out, it can never be useful for you. You must bring it down into your life. You must translate it from here, the world of the head, into the world of action. And this is nididhyasam, application, contemplation. Let's go with application, that makes it simple. Contemplate about application. Yeah. That is like swallowing the subject. Now, because we are Vaishnavas, my dear devotees, we add a fourth thing. We know, just hearing something, reflecting about it, and applying it, it may not always be working. You must pray, it's called Vandana, for the Lord to manifest the knowledge in your heart. Vandana, so important, my dear devotees. We know this after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had talked to Sanatana Goswami about the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana in the Vedic, in the scriptures. Sanatana came before him. He had a piece of grass in his mouth, and he said, "My Lord, please now touch your feet to my head and manifest all these truths in my mind. So when there is something new, like Advaita Singha, you read one morning, the test of a true devotee is if he can give up Maya. And you go like, I looked last week secretly at a movie, and I'm not strong enough to give that up. Then you go to pray to Lord Krishna, please help me so that I can overcome. I know I'm just taking you. I know you are beyond all mistakes which are possible. That is known to me personally. But I'm just saying an example. Huh? So this is very important. These four steps need to be done if you engage with the Bhagavatam. That's what you also do with devotees when you sit. I remember when we were when the world was young, every Ekadasi, I remember there was a devotee in Vrindavan, Tamakrishna Goswami. He invited Giriraj Maharaj, Burijan, Prabhu, so many others, Krishna Chaitra Maharaj, so many, and we would stay up all night and we would hear a text, we would think about it together, and we would think, now how can we use this in our life? And these sessions where we relished together were very strengthening to us devotees. We were, those who were there and will not forget the power and the empowerment which happened there. I would really like to now give you a Bhagavatam class of 5 minutes, and then I would request you to go through these four steps with your partner and engage with him. Are you ready?
Yes.
I will challenge you severely this time. No time for weak practices any longer. I will read to you what we do every morning in the Bhagavatam. We read a sacred text. And that's the time when everyone is challenged in their attention. So I will do this. I will read a sacred text, and I will request all of you to go through Shravana, Manana, Nididhya, San, and Vandana. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
What? Yes. Okay. First, you need to find a partner. I will again go with His Holiness Niranjana Maharaj. It's important that you participate in the exercise. If you don't do, then your partner will think you are a fool because you don't know what to answer. I'm sorry, I should not say this. Is still looking for a partner, please raise your hands and look around and find yourself someone who has not yet found. We are all ready. Should we do some alertness exercises, physical exercises, so that the blood? No need. No need. No need. Otherwise, I will introduce you to Shakti Yoga. I won't do this here in the temple. So, my dear devotees, first of all, any questions on this method? Four points. Maybe I said it wrong. I meant 4 points. So, what you will do is you will listen to me reading a sacred text to you. You will reflect about something which strikes you. It's very important that it's something which really, but that was the point for me. Then you will think, how can I apply that more in my life? Third step. And I don't know how to do this. I mean, when we are together with so many, Vandana may be a little difficult to do, but maybe you can just do what we say in German, ein Stoßgebet. That's, you know, just shortly, you can, oh my God, please help me. You like this, you know, just very brief. Stoßgebet is a very good German word. I don't know how to say it in English. A fervent prayer, yeah, but it's something like which goes out of your heart to the Lord, like a Stoß. You know, Stoß, you can all understand it. This is a Stoß. So we will read. Now, please, when I start reading this time, don't just say, okay, relax, fall asleep. No. This time it's different. You will have to engage with the text. Are you ready?
Yes.
Will you give your best?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's see. This will be the right one. Matam Swakata Krishna Punyashrama Kirtanaha Hridyantasto Hyabhadrani Vidunoti Surit Satam. Shri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Super Soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of that devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. From the pulpit. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. That means he responds in kind to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and has thus become eager to hear about him, then the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord, listen to this, the Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only very few persons want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. Now again, how Krishna helps is said here. I will repeat it again. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma or Super Soul, in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. My dear devotees, please now apply this process. You have heard. Now think about what you have heard. Think about also how you can apply it in your life. Pray maybe, and then share with your partner what you have done so far. Now, because we must relish the Bhagavatam with devotees. Stand now, please. Thank you. I'm sorry we went apparently a little over time. I just want to round it up or close it properly. I learned this method in Vrindavan from a very, very accomplished teacher of the Bhagavatam, His Grace Bhumijan Prabhu. It was at the beginning of our Govardhan retreats, and it was really a very humble but very enchanting beginning. We stayed in one little ashram, Dwarka ashram, and then we had to crawl underneath the barbed wire and sit next to Giriraj under one tree. There were parrots in the tree, and one snake lived under one tree trunk, and Hare Krishna, that was Snakeji. He remained peaceful throughout. And sometimes in the early Govardhan retreats, you see Bhumijan Prabhu talking, and a bull is behind him, a raging bull, and we had to take shelter. Anyways, there he one morning said, "You read, but you don't read. Your eyes go over the books, but nothing stays in you. Let's change that." And he had two banana boxes with him of books, Bhagavatam, other small books, books were there. And then he said, "This method I would like to teach you. Bring it to you, listen to it, think about it, and think how you apply it. And now every one of you pick a book from the banana boxes, and then you go find your tree and read, and after 45 minutes come back here." Boom, 45 minutes. It was hot. We were hungry, thirsty. And the Indian factor had already taken the better from our nerves. But we did, because he is Bhumijan Prabhu, and we sat under a tree. And I remember I had taken a small book from Srila Prabhupada. I think it was Raja Vidya, or some, you know, one of these books which were compiled from the lectures. And I just opened it. And there was the six Goswamis and how they lived in Vrindavan. And I read it, I thought about it, and thought, how can I apply this simple dependence on Krishna and on chanting and hearing His glories? And my dear devotees, this one reading, I mean, there were, this one reading set me on a path. I had translated Prabhupada's books. As a BBT translator, I had dutifully read them. But I must admit to you, I did not always get the nectar out of them. And being creative, I read this book and that book. There's so many books on the book market of ISKCON. And my reading of Prabhupada's books was becoming minimal. And but by digging and finding something with this method, I could rededicate myself. So I very much can say this, take this and practice it. Tomorrow we will learn another method. Tomorrow will be much easier than today. Then I will just tell you the most amazing pastimes of the pastime of the Bhagavatam, for which it is known as the Bhagavatam. It's a very amazing leela which happens right in the middle of the book. You know, there's six cantos before and six cantos come after it. It's right there because it is something very extraordinary. But it's a surprise, I cannot tell you what it is. You will hear tomorrow. I wish you a wonderful remainder of the day. All the best, and Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.